The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our mission is to provide tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas to U.S. military veterans and anybody else willing to listen to help them to navigate toward living their absolute best lives. If you find these episodes helpful, please share them out with somebody that you know of that can use them. And if you really like the podcast, please also head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and a review. It really helps us to spread word about the show, and it really helps to get these tools in the hands of others who really need them. This podcast is sponsored by F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate, with sea salt, with pecan butter. They're absolutely delicious, and they also have a number of other fat-fueled snacks, like their meat sticks and their cheese crisps. They're amazing people who are sending boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front lines, and they're offering 20% off to our listeners on their first orders. If you head over to www.dropanfbomb.com and use the code WarriorSoul at checkout, you'll get 20% off of that first order. And I'm going to keep the announcements short and sweet today. If you can, stick around to the end. I got a really special announcement about a brotherhood that we're creating here at Warrior Soul. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you get a lot out of it. And without delay, let's get into it.
This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's a solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And you need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
All right, guys, in this episode, we have somebody that I've been trying to get onto the show for a bit, and finally our schedules matched up, and I am so glad that they did because we had an absolutely amazing conversation. Our guest today is Mr. Nick Koumalatsos. If you don't know who he is, Google him right now. Check out his YouTube channel. It's awesome. He served as a Marine Raider, part of Special Operations in the Marine Corps, and he got out and he had a really rough transition. He wrote a book about it called Excommunicated Warrior, and since that time, he's been killing it. He's got 7 different businesses, a few of which have absolutely taken off. He's developed a huge platform there on YouTube, and he's just a really inspiring and open guy. He's not one of these guys who walks around like, I'm the best, I'm this, I'm that, I'm hardcore. When you watch his content, he's being himself. He's not trying to be anybody else. And he really brought that spirit to this conversation today. So you guys are going to get a whole lot of this out of this episode. For those of you who are interested in business, for those of you who are interested in fitness, for those of you who are interested in serving in the military, everybody's going to get something out of this. And without delay, let's get into this conversation with Mr. Nick Koumalatsos. It's going to be awesome. I always mess up that last part, but let's get into it. Nick Koumalatsos, welcome to the show, man.
Oh, thank you. And I cannot believe you said that correctly.
You know what, man? I grew up around Greek people.
So the letters make sense to you then.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? And I was going to tell you this. I think you're one of the luckiest individuals on the planet because you're a Greek American.
I feel the same way. So I concur.
Seriously. Yeah. Seriously. It's an amazing culture, amazing food. And, you know, growing up, I grew up back in the late 1970s, 1980s. And these guys, they came to this country. They established businesses. They're like the great immigrant story of the United States. And they're the unsung heroes of this.
Dude, I just think about the amazing, and all immigrants during that time, right? Like I look at my grandfather, he packed his family up from Greece with no money, no plan, and came over just with like I'm going to make it happen. Like the think about that now, like to take, if I had no money, no plan, like nothing, didn't know anybody. I'm going to take my two kids and my wife. I'm going to get on a plane and I'm just going to go. And when I land, I'm going to figure it out.
Yep.
That takes an enormous, enormous set of balls.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, growing up, I'd watch these guys. They'd live in these houses. They'd bring all the extended family in.
Yeah.
You'd all go out and work. I mean, they'd work in restaurants. They'd work cleaning.
Do whatever they have to do. Yeah.
Yep. And then they'd come back. They'd save their money. They'd put it into businesses. And then today they're all doing outstanding. I mean, like
running I talk about that all the time. Yep. I look at, I'm like, immigrants, you know who does well in America? Immigrants, because they have the opportunity. Well, they see the opportunity and they're willing to work hard and put forth effort. And then they're successful in the end. And sometimes I feel like Americans take our opportunity for granted because we just live here. We grew up here. We were born here. So we just kind of float through life, like, you know, through our society's system. And then we can complain about not having enough or not having what we want. But then you got this guy that comes from nothing, you know, our war-torn countries, and they get an opportunity to come here and they just milk it for everything it's worth.
Yeah. So it's such a huge example for young people. And I think we all need to study that. So dude, number one, I think that anybody who listens to my show probably definitely knows who you are, but can we just real quick go through a little bit of your story, to talk about your background?
So before I do that, it was funny. I got a text from one of your, one of my best friends and business partners and actually teammate when I was with Marsoc, texted me and said, "Hey, have you, I'm going to pull it up." It was weird, man. I feel like he's got like psychic capability. He goes, "Hey, did you do a Warrior Soul podcast yet?" And I said, "I don't think so." I said, "I've been doing about 3 a week. Why?" And he just basically said a bunch of accolades about this podcast because he's been listening to you. So I did 3 last week and I just couldn't remember all the names of them. So I hopped on my calendar and today, and this was 30 minutes ago. And I was like, "Oh shit, I got one." I literally am hopping on the podcast in 30 minutes. And I was like, "Are you messing with me? Did you already know that? Do you have access to my calendar? Are you messing with me?" He said, "No, man, it was a serious question." And anyways, I was just like, "Yeah, well, I'm about to hop on." And he just went on and said all the good things you guys are talking about and everything. So,
that humbles the crap out of me. That humbles the crap out of me just to know that people are listening and people are getting something out of this.
He's one of the best dudes ever, Josh Hansberger. So he's the one that I write all my training stuff with.
Awesome. Yeah, dude, that's absolutely amazing.
So I had a kind of a troubled youth, grew up, you know, getting in trouble and then kind of straightened myself up and decided to join the Marine Corps. But of course, that wasn't that easy for me because I was a 2-time convicted felon. I had a GED. I mean, like I had done drugs. I admitted to that. Like there was a multitude of things that the Marine Corps was like hard pass, bud. But I did a little bit of elbow grease and put the work in and proved to them. I like to say this. I proved to the Marine Corps that I was worth being a Marine. Because a lot of people think that I hear a lot of kids saying, "I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I have this history and they won't let me." Well, why should they? Like, this is like, you have to earn it. It's a title that you have to earn. I did all the things. I took ownership of those things. And then I had to give them the reason to say, "Yes, you're worth investing in." So I did that and made the cut, ended up going, spent some time in the conventional forces, ended up going Force Recon, did that for a tour, a little bit, excelled there. And then when MARSOC stood up, basically I was going to go back to Second Force Recon Company, and that had became basically Second Raider Battalion. So I went there and took selection for MARSOC. And then spent my last 6 years as a Marine Raider.
That's awesome. And that's, you came in at, I think probably just the right time to be able to experience that. Right. Cause that's
when I always say that my time, cause I served from 2000 to 2012. And I always joke saying that those are the fun years. Cause they really were. Obviously when I joined September 11th, hadn't happened yet. But it happened a year later and, And that just kind of cracked off through that next 12 years of, some people can say excitement, you know, some people can say tragedy, but it was a very busy year for the Marine Corps, and a busy 12 years for the Marine Corps. And I was fortunate to experience all those different layers of that.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I love about you is, especially with your content, is the just upfront honesty that you have about everything. And when you look at you versus a lot of people, you know, you got this tactical element to what you do. You teach people that stuff, but that's not all you are. There's so many dynamics to who you are as a father, as a businessman, in your personal life. And we get to see all that.
Yeah. I think that the day of, and you can kind of see it with big Hollywood, right? Like you can look at, these big actors, and they're just not authentic, right? You can tell who is excelling in Hollywood and who is not. And in today's age, people want authenticity. This is the reason why guys like Dwayne Johnson, and Chris Pratt and John Krasinski, all these guys are doing so well, is because they're super authentic and they're super real with people. The days of the George Clooney's and the, you know, those type of people that are kind of hiding in the shadows, that don't want to be authentic and don't be a real, they're kind of on the decline. Let's be honest. Yeah. And I think that people in this day and age, because of social media, because of the way globalization has kind of happened, you know, you just have to be real. People are craving the truth. And this is something that when I set out, I was like, listen, I'm going to be me. And you know, once I went through my transition, which I don't know if you've gotten a chance to read Excommunicated Warrior yet. Oh, awesome.
It's right here. Yeah.
There you go. So once I kind of went through all that, I just like, you know what? Like I'm going to just be me, and I'm going to share me. And it's kind of worked. And there's some struggles with it, because I think people, especially being a Marine, especially being a Raider or Recon Marine, society typecast you, mm-hmm. right? They typecast you for this. If you're this guy, if you're a military special operations guy, then you have to fit into this certain mold, you know, you have to fit. And, you know, like they expect everyone to be like Pat McNamara, you know, great dude, but he is him. That's his personality. That's who he is. And that's who he was probably at like a 15-year-old kid. He was probably that intense at 15. Right. But because of that, because these individuals are so big, they expect every military person to be that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've always refused to just be put in a box. So while people expected me to be this tactical ninja, that's not what my life revolves around anymore. My life revolves around my seven businesses, my family, my relationships. I do a lot of leadership, executive leadership, you know, speaking engagements, and talking about how to get people to reach their goals. Like none of that is on the range. You know, there's a lot more layers to the onion than just that. So I've worked really hard to share all those different pieces and all those different sides on purpose, because I want people to know that they can kind of do and be who they are. They don't have to fit into a mold. They don't have to fit into this preconceived idea of what their people expect them to be. Instead, mm-hmm. they can just be who they want to be and excel at it.
That's definitely great points there. And, you know, going through your book, Excommunicated Warrior, you know, at the beginning, you know, we saw that kind of chip you had on your shoulder, right? That when you're coming out, you're pissed off at the Marine Corps, you're pissed off at the world. And unfortunately, I see that in so many guys that I speak to on a daily basis in the veteran community. And you mentioned the typecasting. I think there's a lot of guys who end up typecasting themselves,
right?
Living up to the stereotype of the dysfunctional veteran who's just pissed mm-hmm. off at everything, pissed off at the world, and doesn't want to change for anything, right? They think they're hanging up their personality, right?
That's why, I don't know if you caught that mug. I sell a coffee mug, Own Your Shit, and it's facing inward. So you have to look at it to own your shit. And that's kind of what that's about, is like, you know, even with my own stuff, we all have stuff, we all have faults. And I just, you know, like in a relationship, right? Like, you know, today's my actual anniversary with my wife.
Congratulations, man.
And yeah, thank you. And, you know, through that coming up, obviously believing in the military, being us, we're both from broken marriages. So we had a lot of baggage. And over the years, we just had to really sink into owning our own shit and developing ourselves. And that's where it comes with those guys. It's like, listen, guys, you got to own your shit, man. Like, you're stuck. So own it and let's get past it. That's what that book's all about. And it's frustrating, man. It is very frustrating. I was just on a podcast with Vincent Vargas. I'm sure you know him. You got to get him on here.
He's coming on later this week.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So we had that same conversation about just like, listen, this entitlement and this mentality of almost typecasting yourself into a dysfunctional vet or just a pissed off vet. Like, nobody gives a shit.
Right.
Like, if you're going to be dysfunctional, if you're going to typecast yourself and you're going to demand that everything is the way it is, like, you're going to be stuck and you're not going to progress. And you're just going to slip into this very dark, bitter hole that is going to take you a lot. Like, the longer you stay there and the deeper you go in there, the harder it's going to be for you to get out.
Yeah. And it's a choice. You get 100%.
Yeah. They're choosing that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Every day you wake up, you choose what your mindset's going to be as you handle this stuff. And you have to remember, I think, that even though you might have been through some shit, this earth, we've been around here for thousands of years.
Right. And yeah.
There's, you know, up until recent history, life has been nasty, brutish, and short. And if you read books like Gulag Archipelago, or if you read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, you can see that real freaking quick, right?
You're absolutely right. We're both sitting in air conditioning houses talking on headphones and a microphone and through a computer. Like,
into plastic boxes, and we're literally thousands of miles away from each other, right?
Both drinking water out of a bottle, you know what I mean? Like, life is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So you've got seven businesses, man. Seven businesses, right? Yeah. And a lot of people have problems just handling one. You know, how do you do it? How do you maintain everything with all the different stuff you're doing? I see you everywhere.
Yeah. So it, you know, I get that question a lot, and a lot of people think like, oh, wow, you just started seven. That's not the way it worked. Right. I started with one. I failed miserably.
Yeah, me too. And,
but that's part of it. Right. And I try to tell people, a kid hit me up and said, hey, I want to start my own business, but I'm afraid that, you know, I'm going to fall on my face. I said, let me fast forward for you. You're going to fall on your face. But if you don't ever fall on your face, you're never going to be successful. And he's like, oh, I never really thought about that way. I'm like, yeah, you're going to fail. But if you don't start it and go ahead and get and learn through that process and fail a couple times, you're never going to make it. Any successful business owner has failed tons of times. So just start the process. So I started one business. That business, I was smart enough to know that I had to constantly innovate. I was never... after that big failure, I was never attached to an idea, like emotionally attached to the plan of the idea. I became extremely flexible. So like our whole thing with like marine thing, Semper Gumby, I just stayed Semper Gumby. So wherever the wind blew, that's where we were going. I was going to throw up a sail and I was going to ride that. And, I was just extremely flexible to kind of go with society. I was extremely flexible to go with kind of what the person needed. So what that first business did for me is it taught me infrastructure, and I started to set up the infrastructure I needed. And once I had that, whether it's logistics, accounting, you know, your bank account stuff, your bookkeeper, and then your legal team and marketing and media and cameras and everything, I had all that set. So it was very simple for us to go flip the switch on to another business. And then this kind of comes into like, you game in the game, right? But you get a little bit of money, and then either you have to reinvest that into something, or you put it in your pocket and pay taxes on it, or you can invest it into another business. So what we've kind of done is just leapfrogged. We make a little bit of profit, and then instead of putting it in our pockets and getting taxed, you know, ridiculously from the government, I just reinvest it into another thing. So I built a gym. I took over a gym and took that, and then made a little bit of money from that. And then you guys have probably seen the Johnny Slick story.
Yep.
So like that, you know, I almost feel like he's my son at this point, but he approached me and I fell in love, but he had a problem. He had an infrastructure problem, and a marketing problem and a branding problem. So we partnered, and that thing is, I mean, I can't, it's the fastest growing organic grooming company in the world. Like what's happening with that company is I could not have planned it better. I mean, we broke six figures our first year. Let's just say it's going really well, and I'm super proud of him, and what we're doing is awesome. So then, you know, but like I took the money from the gym and these other things, and then we bought a shipping, you know, we bought a shipping and printing store here locally. So it's just, I'm thinking long-term. I'm not thinking like I'm trying to make a buck to put in my pocket. Like I don't need that. Everything I have, everything is taken care of. Like I have enough. I don't need to go on elaborate vacations and have like a million, you know, even though we do have like a ridiculous amount of vehicles because we have a ridiculous amount of people. Plus my kids are older. But like, I don't need, you know, $100,000 car. I don't need a $1 million house. I don't need all that kind of crazy stuff. I'd rather take things, invest them into things that are going to make me money long-term. Cause I'll tell you right now what my life looks like in 10 years. It's going to be drastically different.
Yeah. I think people need to think in those terms. Like you can't just think in that box. Like I'm going to hang out here. This is how it's going to be. Because otherwise, if you're not acting in a way that is going to make things for you, life is going to bring you things and it's going to determine where you're going to go.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I'm constantly thinking about the long game and what that means for my life and retirement. You know, some people go 401k with a, you know, 4-7% interest rate. I'm not thinking like that. I'm thinking like, how do I build this and then sell this for $25 million?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And that's just, it's a risk, but I'm willing to put the work in and I'm willing to diversify my portfolio or my investments to set that up for us. And you know what it takes? It takes a lot of sacrifice, an enormous amount of sacrifice and a lot of freaking hard work. And those are two things. Those are two things that a majority of people are not willing to put in.
Yeah, I there's so much that you just said that I want to get into here. I think back, you know, my first business was a gym. I was one of the guys who started a Metroflex gym in Long Beach, which was the gym that CT Fletcher and like Mike Rashid and those guys came out of.
That's awesome.
it was great, but it was a nightmare at first, right? I had no business. Experience, right?
Of course. That was your first business.
My first business, never had a business before. We set up a gym in a warehouse in Long Beach, California. And we were like, dude, this is going to be epic. People are just going to be knocking.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah.
Three people show up, right? And we were billing ourselves as like the new gold gym mecca kind of thing. And people would come into the door. And at that point, people didn't get the whole garage gym concept. So people were like walking in, we're like, where's the cardio equipment? Where's the cardio deck? Do you guys have
a swim? Oh my God.
And dude, I lived off of $500 a month for a good 3 years.
Did you have to live in the gym?
I did for a while. I made the brilliant decision to get married while I was doing that. which didn't end well. And then eventually, you know, the whole thing ended. I'm still really good friends with the current owner. But the whole thing ended with me having to forgo my shares of the gym. And I actually ended up living out of my car after that situation. But the thing is, I don't look at it as a negative experience. I look at it as
MBA.
That was my MBA. That taught me everything I need to do to be here talking to you right now.
Right. People think like, especially in the military, I feel like we have this concept that failure is final.
Right.
And it's just not the truth, man. Like that's not the way life works. And we, you know, the military guys, they just get beat into this system of like failure and failure and failure. And you can't fail, especially in the higher echelons of the military. And, you know, like you get bastardized if you fail a school or you get bastardized if you fail something, you're like a shitbag of the unit. But that's not real life. Real life is like you said, like that is That's the best education that you'll ever get right there. Because now you know exactly what not to do and what the second and third order effects of every decision you make in business.
Yeah, you learn through the pain. You learn through it. And you got to take it as lessons, because there you have a choice too. You can either say, holy shit, this is not for me, or, oh my God. And you can look at all the people faking it on social media and you can say, you know, my life isn't like their life and all this stuff. Or you can say, you know what? These are lessons I've learned from them. Let's go on. Let's do something else.
Yeah. And I've always said this, say this thing. I don't know if I stole it from somebody. I've been saying it so long, I'm not even sure, but you show me a successful man, I show you the same person who failed 15 times to get there.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. You've got to work through that. The other thing you said there is, you know, the choices you have with your money when it does come in. And I think I see a lot of business owners, I work with a lot of trainers and things like that. They don't understand the concept of foregoing the immediate gratification for that long-term success. And I see a lot of guys, they'll spend through their taxes. They won't save up their taxes. And then when the tax man comes around, they got to fork out all this money. Is that something you'd learned just from that beginning process? Or is this something that just kind of came along and through education?
No, I think that because of my growing up, because of my situation, like I wasn't that type of guy. Like, don't get me wrong, I love spending money on camera equipment. I love spending money on, you know, different things that enhance the business like that. You know, it's almost like a problem. You know, my wife's like, okay, I think we're good.
That's also an investment too, right?
It is. Right. But I can really, really geek out, man. Like, I can really geek out on some stuff. So, but it was something long-term that I felt like I just didn't need a lot. And even when I started my first business that failed, I wouldn't take it. I just had this thing that I knew that I had to keep as much money in the business to keep it going. So I just would never pay myself except the bare minimum of what I needed to survive, like literally the bare minimum. So I took that concept and like if you look at Johnny Slicks, it's a huge success story. So I sat down with him and I said, this is the way that I want to run things. And here's the reasons why, especially that first year. So I want to dump an enormous amount of money into marketing. Every little penny that we make, I want to put into expanding our lab, building new stuff, getting new products made, and then dumping as much into marketing as we can. And I want us to take nothing. I want us to take the bare minimum that we need to survive and the bare minimum that you need to survive so that we can grow this thing. And because of that, we broke six figures the first year. And then we had this year, we're up 650%.
That's awesome.
So yeah, moving into 2020 is going to be real fucking scary. but it's because we did that. It's because we doubled and tripled down on everything. Yeah. Every move we did, it was like, okay, we made this much money. We have this much money in the bank. How much of it can we spend on marketing? How much can we spend it on R&D? You know, instead of saying, awesome, we made 50 grand. Okay, let's this much for you and this much for me and let's move on. But then it doesn't move the needle forward.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. I just had Rhett Power on the show and he was the founder of a toy company called Wild Creations. And he literally went from, he was making like $25,000 a year, like living out of his van, going from trade show to trade show, then made a single deal with a contract for, I think, $25 million. So his business changed overnight. But one of the things he said was that with that rapid growth, there were things popping up that he never thought he'd have to think about, right?
Yeah.
Like supply chain, infrastructure, all these different things. And that's another huge thing is that when you experience that growth, there's a lot more learning to do. You don't just lie back and
no, absolutely. But that gives you, it's a blessing, right? That is a blessing in itself, because that is when you start to really make money. Because when you start growing at that rate, when then you start cutting out, and we've been having this discussion as well, you start cutting out the middlemen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now I'm fortunate enough to build, you know, to buy these much ingredients, this much product, which cuts out my cost, because I don't have to go to a middleman. I can go directly to a supplier and write a check for $20,000 or $50,000 or whatever. But you'll never get there. You'll never get there if you don't do what he did, living out of your van, taking nothing, grinding it out, you know, going from roadshow to roadshow to make it happen.
You know? That's the hard truth that a lot of people just don't want to realize that.
The other thing that you mentioned is like, how do you do it? And I want to bring this up. How do you do it is your team. Robert Greene has a book. I don't know if you've read it, The 48 Laws of Power. Great book.
I just had him on the show.
Excellent. Excellent. I should reach out to him. I actually found out about that book through my master's program that I'm in. So I'm in a business entertainment master's program. So I read his and John Maxwell's books. Really great. Robert Greene's gangster. He's a gangster. One of the things he said was basically like, you know, develop your team, have partners, and getting people to do things that you can't do or things that you shouldn't be doing. If you look at really successful people, this is stuff that they do really well. How we do what we do is because we have an amazing team. And every single time from we started the first one to the next one, we have hired people, evaluated them, and then kept the people that were producers, the ones that believed in our mission, believed that saw the future and where we were going, and that were invested in us, not just in business, but in people. So our current team and who we have now, our managers, I would say our core, you know, director staff, they don't just believe in our business. They believe in Ali and I as people and where we're going in life. So they're invested in us. And when you get people that look at you that way, I mean, you can accomplish anything.
That's so important to understand, because a lot of us like to think we can do it on our own. And I call it the Rambo syndrome, where you're going off, you're living out in the woods, you're not relying on anybody else. It's just your own will. It's you against the world, right?
I absolutely hate that shit, man. I really do hate like the lone wolf thought process of like, if you want something done, do it yourself. There's a lot of truth to that. It's unfortunate. It's hard to find good people to do things for you. Mm-hmm. But if you want to scale and you want to build something that is going to be really profitable and sustainable, you have to have a good team. You have to invest. And not only does you have to have a good team, but then you have to sit back and you have to invest in them and their personal growth and their education. So one of the things that we do that we started doing, so every Tuesday we have a staff meeting with our directors. At the end of that staff meeting, we do some sort of personal development, leadership growth, something in there. I mean, my thought process is like, I'm getting paid to go around and do it for these large companies, these Fortune 500 companies, these groups, whatever. And why would I not do that with my own staff?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's leadership.
It's leadership. It's leadership 101. So that's one of the things that we do is we invest in them and then we pay them. My wife and I, Johnny and I, like, we take less than our employees.
Yeah. That's
because they're worth it.
Yeah. That's so important to understand, you, especially at the beginning, because it's so important to invest in your team. It's so important to invest in other people. And that's the first concept of leadership. Leaders eat last, right?
Right.
I mean, that was something we were taught in the Marine Corps right at the beginning when you go through infantry school, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. You know, the other, before we move on, I also want to mention this, another one of Robert Greene's books. I don't know if you read Mastery.
I did. Not all of it, but I read several chapters of it. Yeah.
That book, I'm going through that now. I've been through all of his books. I've been through the Laws of Human Nature, 48 Laws of Power, 33 Strategies of War. Mastery, I think, is great for those who might be trying to figure out where they are, like how they're going to move forward or what they should spend their time on. And it's also a great book to get your team to read, because a lot of times they're going through the process of trying to get good at this position. And a lot of times they don't understand there's time that has to be put into it. There's things you got to learn. And at the beginning, you got to be okay with that.
Yeah. You have to be okay with that's you're talking about patience. Mm-hmm. And that is another thing that I feel like sometimes we're lacking, because And I think partially because of social media and because of these like people that just all of a sudden show up on your feed, and you're like, dude, well, how did this guy do this? Like, oh, and we start to compare like, how is this guy so great at this so fast? He hasn't. He's been grinding it out for 20 years to get to show up on your feed.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times young business owners or young people or young teams think, why don't I have more? Why am I not? And I do it. You're like, we all do it. Like, why is this not growing faster?
Right. Right.
It doesn't. It takes time.
And I think that's a thing in the veteran community too, because a lot of us, we go through our years, we gain our experience. I mean, in the Marine Corps, you know, a 20-year-old Lance Corporal is in charge of a lot more than a lot of middle managers in corporate America.
Right, right.
Right. But at the same time, I think that, you know, you go through seasons in your life where you've got to learn stuff over again. And if somebody like you who had all this advanced training, had millions of dollars poured into you as an asset, has to go through that relearning process, then a lot of the rest of us do too, right?
Absolutely. There's no shortcuts. And anytime that I see something, even monetarily, like, so you see something happens and all of a sudden you make a bunch of money overnight, that worries me. When I see things like blow up overnight, like truly blow up overnight, that worries me. Some of the greatest, most successful people always have told me, like, have you ever, you know, I'm like, when did it blow up? And they're like, never. Nothing's ever blown up. Even when I thought things were going to blow up and it was like, this is going to be the one. And I have that all the time. This is going to be it. This is going to be the video. This is going to be the product. It never is. What it is just this slow, steady climb. And if I look at the last 6 years of me doing this since I've been out and then done with contracting, really starting my business, if I look at the last 6 years, there's nothing, not even at all, that I can look at that was a spike. Nothing. If you watch the graph, there's just been a slowly tick upwards for the last 6 years. And all of the people that I look up to and the people that are really, really crushing it on a seven-figure scale, they all say it was just a slow, steady grind upwards for the last two decades.
Well, that's another thing. When you talk about, because a lot of people, they'll write down goals and they'll put on like, I want to earn $1 million by 2020 and all this stuff. They'll put that up. But I think the thing is, I think we get so focused on those end results. And this is a controversial statement, but in a lot of ways, the results don't matter. What matters is the process you're using to get
there. The journey to get there. Yeah. So like, and I believe that. I believe in, speaking things into believing. I believe in the power of thought. I believe in the power of positivity. And I also believe in the power of negativity and the things that you spew out of your mouth. If you're talking about negative shit all the time, guess what you're going to get? A bunch of negative shit and drama. But if you push that out and you are constantly talking about positive things and being that positive person, then I think, you know, laws of attraction, I think that will happen. So putting up, you know, making $1 million I personally think that should go up. I mean, don't sell yourself, because what's going to happen is you're going to make that $1 million. You're going to hit the $1 million and go, this isn't shit. I should have put $5 million. You know what I mean? But I really do believe that, you know, putting that up there is a good thing. But my wife says it best, you know, a wish without a plan is no. A goal without a plan is just a wish.
Right.
You know? Right. And so like you put that up there, okay, that's then. But being a military man, I actually give a really good talk about reaching goals. I really like this one because I use one of the stories that we did in Special Operations. But I look at it from, okay, if you want to have a desired effect on a battlefield, right? I want to change the battlefield. I need to mold the battlefield this way. That's my end state, right? When I leave this deployment, this is what I want the battlefield to look like. Okay, so that's 9 months from now. Okay, what has to happen between those 9 months to get there? So what we do is we put phase lines, right? So we take, say it's a 20-year plan, a year plan, doesn't matter, 3-month plan. You have a goal that you're going to lose 20 pounds in 90 days. I'm going to lose 20 pounds in 90 days. Cool. Okay. Well, that's easy, right? That means at the 45-day mark, you better lost, you know, 10 pounds.
Right.
Now I can break those down into increments. Okay, now what do we have to do to lose these 10 pounds? Well, I need to exercise this much a day. I need to eat these certain things. I need to look at my calorie count. Like, very simple. It's the same thing. Like, weight loss to me is just simple to break down. Okay, so 20 pounds, you know, I'm going to lose 10 and 45. I'm going to lose 5 and, you know, whatever, you know, half of that. And then I can put all of my macros down. I can work with a trainer. I can burn X amount of calories. And this is a mathematical problem. 20 pounds is a certain amount of calories, certain amount of energy output. So I know exactly how much energy I need to put, how much calories I need to consume to reach that goal. Simple. Okay. Right. Well, same thing with $1 million. I want to reach $1 million. Okay. How are you going to do that? Well, I need to make this much money. I need to make this much money at this time, this much money at this time. I need to have this, you know, and you can do percentages because it grows over time, right? You make more money over time. So maybe I need to make 25,000 this year. And then I need to like triple. I need to make seven, you know, I need to make 100,000 the next year and this. But how are you going to do that? You have to put phase lines. Don't worry about the end. Don't lose. Don't, if you look up on the mountain, you're going to trip and fall and slide down the glacier. You know, right. when you're ice climbing and climbing over, you know, you're not worried about the top. Yeah, you want to get there, but you're worried about putting one foot in front of the other, because if you misstep that, you're done.
Yeah. Yep.
So worry about the work that you're putting in and the what do we call it in patrolling? You're
quizzing me right now.
I know.
Been like 15, 20 years.
Oh man, your rally points. You're worried more about your rally points like than you are the actual end goal. Like, I just need to make it to this rally point. So I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. I got my ice axe. I got my crampons. Everything's going good. I'm clipped in, and I'm just one foot in front of the other until that rally point. When I get to that rally point, I reassess and go on from there. And that's that's everything in life right there. You just got, like, if you take that with every goal that you have in life, you set up phase lines and you execute that way, you will be successful.
And it comes down to also understanding the skills you need to learn, right? Being humble enough to put yourself through that. And also understanding that the small, unsexy tasks that you got to do every day, they add up to that greatness. The things that other people are not willing to do, the daily boredom you go through when you're trying to put things together and you're trying to do your stuff, you got to get through that initial point so you can get to the magic, right?
100%. You have to get dirty. You got to get in there. You are the guy at that point. You are the guy to make things happen, or the girl. You're the person to make that stuff happen, and you're going to have to get uncomfortable. And if you're not comfortable with being uncomfortable, then that's not for you. Maybe that goal that you're wanting to achieve is not real.
Yeah. And I want to make this transition because you geek out on cameras. I geek out on hormones. I'm like obsessed with hormonal health and everything. And you've been putting a lot of your content talking about your current hormone program, your quest to have a child. I admire you so much because there's a lot of people who don't admit when they have a problem. And as somebody, you know, I hopefully will get to have children at some point over the next couple of years. I've been praying over it. I've been really trying to take the steps necessary to be able to do that. But tell us a little bit about what you're doing in your life right now to take care of yourself. Cause I think this translates throughout the veteran community.
Absolutely. I think there's so much, you know, oh my God, there's such a bad stigma when it comes to hormone replacement or steroids or all this kind of stuff. I mean, it is gnarly. The comments you get I get two sort of comments. So to give some background for people that don't know me, in my book, I talk about the whole story where a friend of mine came to me and said, listen, man, like, everything that's going on with you, I feel like you've got low testosterone. And this is not something that the military or the VA even identified. They were just, you know, they just want the VA starter pack. We've got uppers, downers, sideways, dream erasers, you know, the GWAT got, you know, starter pack from the VA. And so he identified, he's like, I think you have low T. I think you should look into it. And I got this doctor and, you know, just give it a whirl, see what happens. It was in the tank, man. It was in the tank because of TBI. It was in the tank because of a lot of different things. And once I identified it and I started working with a doctor to get on testosterone and to get my levels fixed, it changed my, it revolutionized my life. Like my, the way my brain functioned, the way that I felt, everything just like, it just like the lights came back on. And so I was on that for about 6 years. And then obviously Allie and I had a vasectomy. And I talk about all this in that video about my coming clean about steroid use video. But to do that, I had to come off that so that I could naturally produce enough to do a surgery because I had a vasectomy. Right. And the urologist was like, it's been too long. Let's not do that. We've got the technology now. I'll just go in, take it out, and we'll be good. And then you can keep your vasectomy and you and your wife can just have fun forever. You know, not have to worry about it. So we did that. And then now we're going through the IVF process. But now that I came back on, I really wanted to, like we talked about in the beginning, be authentic and be real about this. Because like over the last 8 months, I was real quiet about my physical fitness. I was real quiet about how I was feeling. I mean, I really just did not talk about it. One, because I didn't want to bring up why I was off. Because mm-hmm. because what happens if the surgery was unsuccessful and we couldn't do it? And, you know, like, then there's no use in talking about it. You know, yeah. I didn't want to bring that kind of sadness and negativity to my platforms. So I wanted to just wait. Let's make sure the surgery was successful. And then we'll discuss like what happened and everything. But since doing that, I felt like it was a good opportunity to come kind of open up about HRT and what I was doing and why I was doing it. Because the only place I've ever talked about it was the book. I've never really come out publicly and talked about it other than unless you've read the book. And so this has been an amazing series to produce. Because I'm getting two things. I'm getting guys that realizing that they are having issues without even knowing it. Yeah. And it's giving me a platform and a direction to send them, to get them help. You know, these guys that are in their, you know, mid 30s to early 40s. And they're like, man, I've got this weight gain. I don't understand. I'm dieting. I'm exercising. I'm still having trouble. My sleep is shit. I can't work out. Because like I'll be sore for 2 weeks, which is what was happening to me when I came off. I would do a calisthenic workout and I would be sore for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Like how can you continue to train? You can't. You can't continue to train.
And this is what I don't think people understand is that, you know, there's a big difference between going out and loading yourself up with Tren and Becca and all that stuff versus what you're doing, which is trying to keep that engine running, right?
Yeah.
And trying to just enhance your vitality. And I think people just don't understand that. You know, there is the abusive, and I used to train IFBB pro bodybuilders, and there is that abusive element to steroids that does happen.
Of course.
But there's a whole host of the population that you know, they're deficient. And when it comes to veterans, there's increasing evidence. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Mark Gordon and Andrew Marr. They've been talking about this for a while, where low-level TBI can actually shut down those hormonal processes.
So that's what happened to me. So like I had multiple TBIs over time. I actually went to a brain clinic, and the doctor explained why. It was the first time that I explained why my body was doing what it was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was, I damaged my gland. My pituitary. Yeah. So I damaged that through multiple parachute opening, multiple breaches, IEDs, a vehicle accident in Afghanistan that knocked me out. Wasn't wearing a helmet. I was a cool guy. So there was multiple things that happened over that 12-year span that I never really thought that I had TBI. And he explained it. He's like, well, how many breaches have you been? And I was like, I don't freaking know, doc. Like, this, are you kidding me? It was professional. Yeah. I was a professional Marine, warfighter. How many flashbangs went off your feet? How many parachute openings have you had? He's like, all of those are minor concussions that cause damage to the brain. Like, your brain is sitting in fluid in your head. It's not attached to anything. So every time that you did something, it was causing an issue. And he's like, so, cause he looked at the blood, he looked at my cortisol, my saliva, like they dug in, and it's all in the book, but they really dug in and then really broke that down for me. And I was blown away. And I'm like, how many other guys don't even know
Yeah.
That don't even know. They think that it's post-traumatic stress or that it's TBI or it's all these other things. When in reality, you have the testosterone of an 80-year-old man and you're 28.
No, and that will lead to suicidal ideation.
100%. 100%. You will get depressed 100% and you'll be so tired because you're not sleeping and you'll want to kill yourself because you're just exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, as I learned more and more about the issue, I mean, you know, you mentioned the parachute breaches, but even, you know, just manning a 50 cal, quite often, you know, even, and I was talking to Doc Parsley, who is a former SEAL and current medical doctor. He was saying, you know, even, when you're in the kill house and you've got blanks going off, that could do something. Right.
Absolutely. That overpressure or being in a 50 cal or Mark 19 in the truck. Have you ever been in the truck in a 50 cal is going off? Oh, that will make you want to throw up from the overpressure. Yeah. And people, we don't think about that, right? Because it's just part of the job. It's like, oh, wow, that made me dizzy. Yeah. And then you move on. You just drive on with your day. But over time, over doing that, even if you did that for 4 years, right? That has a huge, huge effect on your body. And so I'm excited that I get to finally talk about that. And hopefully it's helping people. The other thing that I get is these individuals, and I'm sure you get it too, about they just believe. I got into it. He says he's a medical doctor. I don't know. But he believes that testosterone is horrible for you, that you're going to get prostate cancer. You're going to lose your hair. You're going to do all these things are going to happen to you. You're going to have heart disease. And I laugh and I'm like, that is all a lie. There's not one documented case of this. And anyone that says that it's connected is like, wait a minute. Well, he was on testosterone. That guy was 300 pounds. He had heart disease long before he ever took a testosterone shot.
Yep.
This is not the case, guys. It infuriates me that you have these people out there saying that all these negative things with HRT when it's not true.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I would say is that there's also a difference. We mentioned the abuse aspect, but there are doctors out there who are catching on to this trend who don't necessarily know what they're supposed to be what they're doing.
Right.
And they're not doing the requisite tests. They don't understand the complex hormonal cascade. And so they're just doing this cookie cutter approach to HRT.
So I get mad with the VA because a lot of guys are like, well, the VA will take care of this. I'm like, if you pound the drum long enough, they will. But here's what they won't do. They're going to give you a little bit of test C. They're going to let you inject it, but they're not going to do anything else.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're not going to give you all the other platforms that you need to manage your hormones. They're going to give you one thing and that's it, which is going to shut your natural production down. They're not going to give you ACG. They're not going to give you an anti-E if you need it. They're not going to give you B12. You know what I mean? They're not going to give you the whole thing. They're like you said, these doctors are like, okay, I'm going to attack this one thing, but it doesn't work like that. You have to have the whole package.
Yeah. And you have to be taking care of yourself. I mean, and that means you have to take care of, and I'm a big advocate of gut health, making sure you're taking care of your digestion because that can kill off your Leydig cells, it can kill off all the things that help you to produce testosterone and can affect your brain. But you have to be doing the nutrition and you have to be taking care of your body. You can't just take it and then go eat beer and pizza 24/7 and expect to get the results, right?
Absolutely not. It's about a return on investment. And I do this talk where like, I want to maximize everything. I want to maximize everything I have in life, right? I want an ROI on everything. So why would you jump into that and not want to maximize your health and maximize your, you know, basically biohack yourself to where you are the best version of yourself that you can be?
Right.
You know, why cheat yourself? So that's the way I look at it is like, okay, if I have this opportunity to get healthy and take care of it, why would I not want to maximize that?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, dude, I mean, number one, I love absolutely everything you're doing. I think you're one of the guys out there in the veteran community who I think is providing a really awesome example for people. From maximizing everything with your businesses to the way, you know, you're a family man. I mean, I just think that's absolutely amazing. And the thing is, I think we need more of that. We need more of people like you, and less of, you know, let's go pound whiskey and let's do this and let's live up to the stereotype. And, you know, what do you have on tap next? I mean, I love your channel. Your vlogs are some of the best vlogs I've ever seen. And just the way
you
practice that art. And it is art the way you do it, the way you set up the shots. And I can tell you're geeking out with the camera, with the angles and stuff.
Always.
What's next?
What's next? I mean, honestly, like right now we're focused on growing all the businesses, but honestly, we recently retuned some things with the business so that we could set ourselves up to have this baby. So we're really focused on, the next step is just, like I said, maximizing our returns, right? So we're really trying to maximize our IVF process. So that's with the family stuff. You know, we're setting things up. We actually moved some things around so that we can have a home office here and continue to work, but be able to work from here, you know, when a baby comes or as we're going through pregnancies. In conjunction with that, speaking stuff has really taken off for me. So I'm doing a lot more speaking. We've got the Excommunicated Warrior audiobook launching this month, which I'm doing a unique thing. What David Goggins did was he had podcasts in between the chapters talking about the chapter. Yeah. So I'm going to do that as well. So we're getting those knocked out. So I'm excited about, I think the audiobook is going to be probably bigger than the actual Excommunicated Warrior book just because of that. And I'm working with a really good narrator that's just absolutely killing it. And a lot of people wanted me to read a book and I wanted to as well, but you have to maximize your work. There's no way that I could sit down for a week and knock that out when a professional can do it, you know, rather than quickly. But what I am going to do is do the podcast. So that's where my contribution is going to come in and really break those chapters down and have a conversation with some really awesome people about each chapter's subject. So that's coming up. And then Black Friday, man, we're going to freaking keep Johnny Six and all our companies. We're going to
batten down the hatches for that one, right?
We're going to break. We've got some new stuff coming out. We got a whole female line that we're really excited about called Mrs. Slicks, kind of a 80s retro wave style of products for ladies. So we're really excited about that. And then what we do is during Christmas, Nick turns the business off. So on the 19th, when shipping slows down, basically we're off until the new year. So we take, we take the 19th and it's party time. It's party time and family time from the 19th until the new year.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's just important. You know what I mean? Like I miss so much. So I miss so much. And I think sometimes we can work so hard that we lose, you know, and we do. I mean, my wife and I work 80 to 100 hours a week. So there's a couple times in the year that we just turn the off button off. Once when we go to Greece and I go visit family for 2 weeks in Greece, and then Christmas time. That's just my two favorite times of the year. So we're going to hit the pause button and just enjoy it. But then 2020 is coming, baby. I'm coming in. We're coming in swinging.
Real quick, you got a weight loss group that you're working on too, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I did this Surviving the Cut series. And I really did this, I did it as an example to show people how to achieve their goals, right? Like, you know, basically it was like, I got fed up with the New Year's resolution nonsense. So I was like, New Year's resolutions are nonsense. You know, a goal without a plan is a wish. So I'm going to show people what I can do in 90 days. And I'm going to be really authentic and really open about it. So I did that. I cut down from 240 pounds to 195 in 90 days. So many people were inspired by it that they were asking how I did it, what I used, what was my macros, what was the science behind being able to, like, the output and energy behind that. So we created this thing called STC. And we've been running, this is our third class. So we're running this group. What we're actually going to do is for this year, we're going to open it up to, I think the last week of every month. So you can jump in and it's a 90 day program. You can continue on. We've got actually people that have been on it for, I think this is going, we'll be going into their ninth month, but man, we're talking people losing 100 pounds. Like this one guy, lost 65 pounds and he's like, Nick, you've changed my life. Like I was heading down the road of a heart disease, stroke and heart attacks and dying. Right. And now he's like, I'm back at the weight that I was in my early 20s.
That's
you know,
amazing.
My family, my relationship, my sex, you know, I can go play with my kids. Like my whole life has changed because of this. And it really is, it's a mathematical problem. It really is a mathematical problem. And so we were able to help that. So that's survivingthecut.com. And yeah, so it's exciting, man. It's exciting to watch because our work is really, in my mind, is very limited. It's education based. Like we're educating people on the subject. It's really them that's putting in the work. If they just listen to the education and do what Josh and I say, their lives are changing. And it's really them doing all the work, which is amazing to watch because the people that do it, I mean, you just watch their life, like right there on the screen, you watch their life change. And it's just, it's amazing to see. And I feel very fortunate that I even have the ability to offer something like that.
That's great, man. That's great. And there's nothing like that feeling when you know you're actually helping somebody and
absolutely
and see it going on. I mean, that's what the real reward is there. Well, where can people find you? I know you're all over the place. You've got Instagram going on. You got YouTube going on. Where's the best place for people to go to learn?
Honestly, it doesn't matter. Whatever your thing is, and that's the way we set this thing up, is like I want to be wherever you are. So if someone is somewhere, I want to be there with them. So if you type my name in anything, it should pop up. So Nick Koumoulatsos. My website's nickkoumoulatsos.com. That's the kind of the hub. But everything else is there. I just want to be where the people are at. And if someone's there and I'm not there, tell me and I'll get there too.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, sir, you are a gentleman and a scholar and I really appreciate you coming on here. And again, I just want to acknowledge all the work you're doing. When you go to your channel, like I said, it's not you acting like some hero. It's not you acting like it's you being you and you taking people through this journey you're on to build these businesses, to maximize your time with your family and to live a really awesome life. And that's what this show is about, is teaching people like that. And it's always a pleasure to get to speak to people like you who are out there in the fight doing this and inspiring others.
Excellent. It's an honor, man. I'm really stoked that you had me on. I appreciate it.
100%. And guys, listen, get out there, check Nick's stuff out. Check out Johnny Slicks. Definitely check out that YouTube channel because he puts a lot of work into that, like I said, and it's, you get some great material off that. And definitely check out this book, Excommunicated Warrior, The Seven Stages of Transition. It's a really, really great read. It won't take you long to get through it. And honestly, there's a lot of principles that you guys could start applying to your own transitions in life right now. So with that, guys, I want to thank you all for listening. Get out there and live your best lives while you can. This is Chris and Nick out. All right, guys, I thought that this was an absolutely awesome conversation. I've had a lot of respect for Nick Koumoulatsos before this conversation. I have even more respect for him now. Just a great dude, and he brought the fire to this episode. If you liked it, please head over to iTunes, write us a written rating and review. It really helps to get this information out into the hands of more veterans and more everyday people so they can make things happen in their lives. And so then they can contribute to our great society and make this country stronger than ever. That's what this podcast is all about. And every time you do that, it really, really helps us. Beyond that, I just want to mention something that I've been mentioning for a bit here on the show, and that is the Warriors Obituary Society. It's a group we've developed here at Warrior Soul for men, and what we've done is we've created a group that empowers men to live absolutely epic lives, lives worthy of epic obituaries. Why am I just working with men? It's not that I don't like women. It's not that I don't think that women need to be empowered. It's because men are going through a whole heck of a lot. And right now, I'm not a female. At least at this point in time, I'm not a female, right? So there are a lot of groups out there for women, but for men specifically, this group is meant to empower you so that you can take charge of your life as a man. And What we work on in this group, when each of our members comes in, we go through an 8-week development program. And what that program does is it gets you to outline your vision, your goals. And then from there, what you're doing is you're working on specifics, you're working on fitness, you're working on your personal finance, you're working on your business, your career, you're working on your relationships. And then once that 8 weeks development program is done, that's when the real work begins. That's when we're getting together each week, we're outlining those goals, we're holding each other accountable toward those goals, and we're delivering solid advice to each other. We operate not over social media, not over any Facebook groups or anything like that, but over a private Slack workspace. And that's for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't want you to get distracted by social media. Number two, I don't want you to feel like somebody's looking over your shoulder. So we do that there on the Slack channel. We also have a Voxer channel where we communicate via voice. And it's a great time. We're in daily conversations about different important issues, and we are also pushing forward on those goals. So if that's something that interests you, you can head over to it's courses.warriorbusinessacademy.com/courses/warrior-obituary, warrior-obituary. I'll put the link in the show notes for this episode up for those of you who are interested. And if you don't feel like finding the link or anything like that, you can always email me at chris@warriorsoul.gogi.com. And with that, guys, again, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And we're going to be back at you with more awesome episodes, more awesome content. So please stay tuned. I'll be talking to you guys soon, and I am out.